Thank you, Marika, and welcome to EP Infrastructure Half One 2019 results call. My name is Gary Mazzotti. I'm the Vice Chairman of the Board of Directors, and accompanied today with Philip Belak, who's the Finance Director of EP Infrastructure Group. We'd like to refer to the presentation that is on the InComm site and has also been released on the EP Infrastructure website for your review. If we start then with the presentation, I would draw your attention to page five, the summary of the group and of the results. EP Infrastructure continues as a leading Central European group, which operates traditional energy infrastructure assets. We have four core divisions. These remain transmission of gas, distribution of storage of gas, distribution of electricity, and the provision of district heating. We are predominantly located in Slovakia, Czech Republic, and Germany. Our strategy remains that we are in either regulated or long-term contracted businesses, which have a critical feature of converting a substantial part of their operating results into free cash flow. We present for you today LTM last 12-month figures to June 2018. The key KPIs for the period, consolidated sales for the last 12 months amounted to 3,325 million euros compared to 3,106 million euros for the financial year 2018. The adjusted last 12-month EBITDA amounted to 1,528 million euros compared to 1,466 million euros in 2018. Our proportionate net leverage ratio as of 30th of June 2019 stood at 4.1 times, well within the dividend lockup covenants we have in our bonds of 4.5. We're particularly pleased that our group cash conversion ratio for the last 12 months ended June 2019 was approximately 76% compared to 72% in the financial period 2018. The results clearly are an improvement and driven primarily by three key things. In gas transmission, we had a 22% growth in volumes. This is to a certain extent front-loading of transmitted volumes for the year. In our heat infra segment, we were pleased to include for the first time our share in the merger of Pilzenska Teplarenska in our district heating division. We also included the results of Naphta Speicher, our acquisition in storage in Germany at the end of 2018, which was also positive to our results. In overall summary, a very pleasing set of results for your review. If we move to page seven, the stakeholders, EPH and Macquarie, remain the same. The four divisions remain the same. Gas transmission being the largest of our division, 49% owned by EPIF and 51% by the Slovak state. In gas and power distribution, our core companies are SPP Distribucija and SSE Distribucija. Again, 49% owned by EP Infrastructure and 51% owned by the Slovak state. Gas storage is the only one of our divisions that is not regulated, but it is in fact long-term contracted. Here the businesses are owned predominantly 69% by EPIF, with the balance owned by the Slovak state. Our fourth division is heat infra, predominantly in the Czech Republic. Here this is predominantly 100% owned by ourselves. In summary, we remain with few changes from last year. The key numbers for your review, the adjusted EBITDA last 12 months, 2019, was 1.528 billion euros compared to 1.46 billion in 18 and 1.46 billion in 17. The proportionate adjusted EBITDA amounted to 848 million compared to 818 and 800. Free cash flow was particularly pleasing at 1.168 billion euros. As previously mentioned, the group cash conversion ratio was an extremely pleasing 76%. Our total proportionate net debt at the end of June 19 was 3.5 billion euros, and we had a proportionate net leverage of 4.1, well within our dividend lockup given to covenants. On page 8, we break down the operating divisions on a fully consolidated basis in more detail. Gas transmission, clearly an extremely pleasing result as volumes transmitted increased significantly in the first half of the year. The key number there is operating KPIs, where the gas transmitted was 66 billion cubic meters compared to 60 billion cubic meters in the 12-month period ended 18. Gas and power distribution, extremely consistent results, as you would expect from regulated businesses, a 502 million contribution in the 12-month period ended 18, and the last 12 months ended June 19, 506 million, highly consistent, predictable businesses. Gas storage was particularly pleasing. The results of 147 million in 2018, as previously mentioned in previous presentations we made, was considered exceptionally high due to a cold weather period in the early part of 2018. So the increase to 152 million reflects predominantly this fact, plus the successful integration of our acquisition, Nafta Spiker, in Bavaria, that we carried out at the end of 2018. In total, then, on a consolidated basis, 2018 financial year was 1.466 billion euros, and 2019 last 12 months, 1.528 billion euros. Cash conversion, which is the bedrock of our strategy, moved from 87% to 86%. All in all divisions performed to expectations, to plan, and in fact, one or two divisions produced better than expected results. On page 9 and 10, we detail in more, we go into more detail onto the adjusted EBITDA, and clearly we're happy to answer more detailed questions at the end of the presentation. I'd like then to move us on to the financing strategy of EPIF Group, which begins on page 12, and passes over to Philip Bilak, the Finance Director of EP Infrastructure. Philip.
Yes, thanks, Gary, and welcome to everyone. Basically, in terms of financing strategy of the group, I can say that nothing has really changed. Basically, we still aim to keep something like 60 to 90% of our overall debt exposure in bonds. This was particularly underpinned in July 2019 when EPIF entity issued 600 million of bonds, basically with a tenor of 7 years and coupon of 1.698%. It's basically also the longest Eurobond that we have ever issued, so a really successful issue with the order book heavily oversubscribed, so good news, I think, to all. Basically, by that we managed to refinance some of the existing bank debt at EPIF, particularly the year 2022, to major extent, and we moved out tenor to 2026. So we continue with the strategy of optimizing the tenor and interest costs. So far, basically sticking to the point. In terms of financing structure of EPIF Group, again, for me to emphasize that the group is basically built from two legs. The first one is the EP Energy Group, which you might know also as an issuer of bonds. There is one bond in the structure closely to €500 million that is due 1st of November 2019. Still, I can confirm that the group will refinance this bond at EPIF level, latest by its maturity, in beginning of November. And after that, basically, this EP energy leg will be virtually debt-free, and that's something that we expect to continue also to the future. Then the second leg that is the key to EPIF is SPPI group leg. SPPI is an entity in Slovakia that holds and consolidates the gas assets in Slovakia, Czech Republic, and newly in Bavaria, Germany. The goal is to navigate the net leverage around 2.0 times EBITDA. You might see that at the end of June 2019, the net leverage there was approximately 1.5 times, whereas the threshold for net leverage at SPPI Group is basically capped by a shareholder agreement with Slovakia, and that cap is 2.5 times EBITDA. So you can see that there is significant cushion, which enables us to navigate, I would say, pretty smoothly in terms of distribution. I would say as a last word on this slide, number 12, that once we do refinance EP Energy at EP Infrastructure level, latest by 1st of November 2019, EPIF entity will be consolidating around 70% of the overall group's debt on EPIF level, which is also the targeted structure. 30% will be then located on SPP Infrastructure Group. Their assets we do not expect to further deliver. If we move to next page, page number 13, this gives you overview basically of net debt and debt as of the end of June. I would not repeat the figures as Gary said it before. A few highlights from my side. You can see quite nicely that net leverage profile, basically where we talked last time, the management intends to navigate around 4.3 times EBITDA, whereas as of the end of June, we were at 4.1 times EBITDA, so well within the management target and clearly well within the dividend lockup covenant at 4.5 times EBITDA. Still, both shareholders are committed to investment grade, as given by the shareholder agreement, so that was also reconfirmed in Q2 2019 when all three rating agencies reconfirmed the results. So again, BBB flat from S&P, BBB minus from Fitch, and Baa3 from Moody's, all with auto stable. So good news. I would pinpoint one more thing, basically relating to the information here, that given the, I would say, extremely high cash conversion ratio that we are consistently achieving in the level of 70% plus, you can see that if we do basically take the proportionate EBITDA, which at the end of June stood at approximately at €850 million, we can get something like €590 million of free cash flow before interest. And simply, if we take this figure and we divide it by this figure, the total net debt of the group at the end of June 2019, we can see that the group is pretty much able to repay all its debts within 6 year time, which is, I would say, quite significant number and very favorable to the group. Clearly, in the back of the presentation, what we always do, and I did that again, you can see comparison, benchmarking of our company to our peer group as we see it, and you can see whereas we have the ability to repay the debt within 6 year time, then most of the competitors are around 10 times, basically 12 times sometimes even more. So that's really what differentiates us from the rest, I would say, of the industry, of the market, where clearly the cash conversion ratio, which we consistently achieve, is superior to the others. With that, let's probably look at the next page, page number 14. Again, this is a picture that you might know from previous presentations. It gives you basically the overview of the group structure. So again, you can see two legs, EP Energy and SPPI. Again, basically, I would say that once the EP Energy bonds are repaid, then EP Energy is virtually debt-free. At the same time, the last bond at EP Energy that shall be now repaid is basically the last secured financing in the structure. So by that, we will be removing debt. And the ultimate structure will be that EP Infrastructure shall be having something like 70% of the overall debt on the holdco company. So again, the structural subordination will be fairly limited. Last page on the financing is page number 15, where we can see the overview of debt. What I would probably concentrate on are the two pictures. One is the debt maturity profile. Again, if you are familiar with EPIF, basically you can see that that the maturities are very neatly distributed over the years, so we do not aggregate refinancing risk in any given year, and we continuously aim for prolonging the tenors and basically moving out the maturities. So if I do have a look at 2019, that's EP Energy bond, that's what I take as settled. Already, it's the question when technically we take EP Energy bond offline. 2020, you can see Eusteen bond, that is due in July 2020. Already now, we basically are looking into various options how to refinance this bond, and we will be informing you in due course. I think the other ones, I would probably only pinpoint 2022, where you can see in dotted line the portion of the bank financing that was refinanced by the recent July EPI bond, moving out that maturity to 2026. Again, I would say that we continue observing the market, and clearly, I mean, we are potentially interested in additional long paper. I specifically would be looking at 2027, 2028, perhaps 2029, depending on the market conditions. So this would be something that that we can keep an eye on, and let's see how the development is there. So that concludes basically financing section, and let me just say a couple of sentences around ESG. Our favorite topic is the next slide, number 16. So I can say that there was some development, and I would say a very positive one, since the last time we talked about year-end results. Basically, as you might know, EPIF Group obtained in Q1 2019 its first ESG rating from Sustainalytics. That ESG rating is average performer. We simply took that as a sort of like a starting point in our ESG journey. And basically what we have concentrated on since then was putting together our first sustainability report for the year 2018, which was actually today released. So you might have a look at our web pages to the investor section, 2018 results, and there you will be seeing the link for the sustainability report for 2018. Obviously, for us it's a great achievement. I mean, we are happy that we have that out. You can have a look at complete overview of the EP Infrastructure Group, its business, and the various links of the businesses to social governance environmental area. So I find it very, very useful and helpful. Clearly, this is not the end of our journey. As we have discussed, we are still looking at and basically reviewing in this stage the new ESG-related policies that we will be issuing on EPIF. I see the issue to happen in Q3, Q4 2019. We will be making disclosures on our websites, and hopefully you might find it also useful in your analysis. By that, I would expect, once done, I would potentially expect as a result that there might be some rating upgrade in terms of ESG matters. But let's see. So other than that, I think we clearly remain consistent with our messages before. We have transparent corporate governance structure, the fact that there are two strong shareholders, EPH and Macquarie. So clearly there is impact from that on our shareholder structure, capital structure, various policies that we do have in place. So I find it very useful. And secondly, our commitment to low carbon business model. Again, I can say that specifically in the heat infrastructure and also other businesses, we continue with investments into green technologies, specifically the heat infra business. We aim basically to decrease our various emissions, be it CO2 or the other ones such as particles or NOxes and SOxes. So that's something that we have in mind and we have also in the plan. With that, I think that concludes the financial section and also the ESG related topic. So with that, I would hand over to Gary just to kindly walk through the various segments and then we can move on.
Thank you, Philip. So if we move to page 18, we'll briefly go through the gas transmission. This is Ustream, as you all probably know. We remain a very key strategic asset, both for Slovakia and for the European Union. The Ustream pipelines play a key role in the transmission of Russian gas to the European market. There is a clear trend over the previous years and going forward in an increasing need for Russian gas to satisfy the European import gap for gas. This is based primarily on two sides, on supply, and there is a continual decrease of domestic indigenous production in Holland and potentially over the long term in Holland, UK and Norway. And on the demand side, Europe continues to shift its energy mix, particularly in Germany, away from nuclear and away from black coal, which results in a projected increase in demand for gas within the energy mix for the creation of electricity. Business is regulated. The current five-year period ends in 2021. All of our contracts are ship or pay contracts, and 50% of our annual capacity is booked until 2028 by a major Russian shipper. In the event of the completion of Nord Stream 2, we will also play a central role in the transmission of gas north to south through Europe. The results clearly very, very pleasing. EBITDA of 695 million for the last 12 months. And we have an extremely high cash conversion ratio of 91%. If we move to page 19, just to re-emphasize, it's critical infrastructure. The gas that is transmitted through Ustream pipelines is particularly for Italy, Austria, Central Europe, and actually re-transits from Western Europe to Ukraine. There is no other transmission route with sufficient capacity to supply the market I just mentioned. A large majority of the 60 billion cubic meters transited in 2018 was under long-term ship or pay contracts. Ustream plays a pivotal role in north to south natural gas flows, currently mostly from Nord Stream 2. Ustream shall transmit also gas from Nord Stream 2 if and when implemented. The key stable market share continues on the graph that we show. We show the steady increase in Russian supply of gas to Western Europe and shows that Ustream continues to have around 18 to 20% of the total gas transmitted to Western Europe. So the fundamentals of our Ustream business remain extremely solid, and our role in supplying primarily the roles, the markets of Austria, Italy, Central Eastern Europe remains solidly in place. On page 20, we go through gas and power distribution. Philip, do you want to help us on that one?
Yes, happy to, happy to. And I think that I will be quite boring this time because this is something that, you know, is a usual business. So it's other than Ustream, which is much more interesting. But anyway, gas and power distribution, basically both businesses represent traditional and standard utility businesses. Gas distribution is a monopoly provider of gas distribution in Slovakia, nearly 100% share. Again, fully regulated. All regulation is EU compliant, so something that you would be expecting to see. Normal WACRAP regulatory formula. Regulatory period is also for 5 years. It's the very same regulatory period as for the transmission business, the very same regulator, independent from the government. So something really to be expected. I would say the results as expected. I mean, you know, predictable, given some fluctuations in weather conditions, specifically for gas. You can see some fluctuations also in the business, but all in all, the business is very stable, I would say mature, and clearly predictable. What I just would like to highlight in terms of regulation, and that's valid for both gas and power distribution businesses, is basically that both businesses are shielded from volume fluctuations to a certain extent, as the tariff is something like 60% fixed. So that gives the variation to weather conditions, I would say, somewhat limited, specifically in the gas industry, gas business. In terms of power distribution, again, very pleasing set of results. Expected again here in the power distribution business. It's more driven by, I would say, consumption of electricity in the region. SSD, which is the distribution arm of SSE Group, is basically present in the middle of Slovakia. For you to remember, basically Slovakia is divided into three regions, where in each there is a monopolistic distributor of power, electricity, and we do operate in the middle one. As said, electricity is primarily used in production, so it's not that much bound to the weather. Only during the summer, where the air conditions are on, SSD is having you know, happy time, and the distribution really spikes up. So that's kind of the trend. The winter doesn't really affect SSD much because gas is primarily used for heating, not electricity. Another segment that I would like to look at is on the page 22. It's a heat infrastructure segment. Heat infra, as we call it. As you might recall, heat infrastructure consists of several heat district companies, basically companies that do supply hot water to its customers. We have majority of the market in the Czech Republic. We are number one there. Our, for example, Pražská Teplárenská is one of the largest district heating companies in Europe. So we have full ownership there. And then we own the largest heat producer in the city of Budapest. So again, the diversification is there. Basically, the business is regulated, both in Slovakia and in Hungary. So we do enjoy, I would say, consistent result. The only fluctuations, I would say, come from the weather conditions. In H1 2019, the results for the heat infrastructure segment are fairly strong. It's basically due to two factors. One is, as Gary was saying, successful acquisition and ongoing integration of Plzeňská Teplárenská into our segment. So that's one positive news, one positive factor. And secondly, also the fact that specifically in H1 2019, we have experienced, I would say, considerable improvement in operations, in the core operations of our companies, specifically in the Czech Republic and then in Hungary, where basically in Hungary we can see increased lead prices given by the regulation, and also the fact that last year the company in Budapest, BERT, has completed its investment into ancillary services. So we do enjoy the benefits of that, clearly bringing positive results. And in the Czech Republic, it's also the improvement is also due to power prices as well as ancillary services, and basically I would say consistent offtake of heat by our customers. So I think that would be covering heat infrastructure segment. So if I may, and hand over to Gary for the last segment, gas storage.
Thank you, Philip. So in gas storage, a pleasing results. I think, as we said on our last call, 18 results were slightly positively influenced by a cold January, February 2018. So the increase in results from 147 to 152 million reflects a stable performance from the existing businesses and a pleasing first-time contribution from NAFTA Spica, which was our acquisition of storage assets in Bavaria that we carried out at the end of 2018 with a capacity of 19.9 terawatt hours. We remain the market leader of 25% in Slovak Republic, Czech Republic, and Austria, with a very interesting strategic location now in the German market. We have connections, which makes us unique to the central European gas routes from our facilities. Our businesses long-term capacity contracted and remains positively so. We have moderate investment needs for our businesses, and in fact we have superb cash conversion at 95% in the first half of 2019. There is no price regulation, which is why our strategy is to invest in these assets when they are in fact long-term contracted. Overall, a good performance by the division and a very pleasing acquisition carried out at the end of 2018. On page 25, we detail for you the subsequent events. As Philip has mentioned, we were particularly pleased in July to place our longest Eurobond issue of 600 million euros for 7 years to 2026, with a coupon of 1.698%. As Philip has also said, we continue to look at all potential new financing to optimize the maturity profile of the group. We're also extremely pleased now to have two bonds, 2024 and 2026, which fully starts to develop the yield curve of the group. On ESG matters, Philip has gone through this. We have an ESG rating. We continue to work on this to improve, which we believe that we can. And as Philip has just mentioned, we have in fact issued our debut sustainability report, which is also extremely pleasing. On page 26, therefore, we summarize an excellent set of results for the first half, both with regards to sales, with regards to EBITDA, and with regards to cash conversion. Pleased to confirm that the proportionate net leverage at the end of June 2019 stood at a very conservative 4.1 times. On financing, just to confirm, in 8th of April, we issued an 8-year floating rate note in the volume of 70 million euros. On the 24th of April, we entered for the first time the German Schuldschein market with an issue of 182.5 million. On the 21st of May, we issued some new 265 million term facilities agreement, which ranked pari passu. We therefore have in place funds to repay the EP energy bond due in November 2019. We will move now to questions if you have. But overall, it's very pleasing to be able to confirm these set of results to you today. So we'll hand over to questions, if we please, Rika.
If you wish to ask a question on today's presentation, that's star followed by one on your telephone keypads now. We have had no questions, so I'll hand back over to you.
Okay. All the presentation is available on our website, including the press release of the results by the chairman, Daniel Krutinski, and now including the link to our sustainability report. As those of you that know us, Philip and myself are happy to answer any further questions that you have. So thank you very much for listening, and that is the end of the half one 2019 presentation.
Thank you.